Welcome to the presentation of results of the third quarter of 2021 of Grupo Sura. My name is Sylvia and I'll be your operator for today. Right now, all attendees are in silent mode. Ahead, we'll have a live Q&A session. For those that are in the English channel and connected only by web, please send your questions in writing through the platform. Please keep in mind that this teleconference is being recorded. As of now, we give the floor to Carlos Gonzalez, Manager of Investor Relations and Capital. Good morning. Welcome to the presentation of results of the third quarter of 2021 of Grupo Sura. Today's talk is divided into two parts. First is a pre-recorded session discussing the company's results, and second, a live Q&A session. Today, we are joined from Grupo Sura by Gonzalo Perez, the CEO, Ricardo Jaramillo, the CFO, Monica Guarin, Human Development VP, and Juan Luis Munera, Legal Affairs VP. From our subsidiaries, we are joined by Juan Fernando Uribe, Finance and Investments VP of Sura Americana, and Carlos Oquendo, Corporate Finance VP of Sura Asset Management. Gonzalo, the floor is yours. Thank you, Carlos. It's a pleasure to greet you and to present the quarterly results as of September 2021 of Grupo Sura. Thank you for joining us once more. To talk about the results, we will begin, as we usually do, by discussing the income of the companies as well as the consolidated income of Grupo Sura. For us, this income proves our clients' acceptance of the solutions and services in the companies in which Grupo Sura invests. These consolidated results, as of the end of the third quarter, total more than 18 trillion pesos, up 17.2% compared to the year 2020, a year in which the results kept climbing with two-digit figures. It's important to keep this information in mind, since in the last 12 months, the increase is above 10%, reaching now 23.6 trillion, again, during the last 12 months. On the other hand, it's important to underscore as well that this income rises from an income from a premium issued above 13% and an income from commissions of over 15%. Indeed, as to commissions, we're talking about more than 300 billion of income for Sura Asset Management from voluntary products. This is important since this includes the 15% over the total of the commissions of Sura Asset Management. On the other hand, since we're ending this quarter, our equity method has increased more than 190%. And reaches even levels quite similar to those of 2019. The foregoing helps reach the 18 trillion mentioned before, as well as the 17.2 growth of income. When we talk about the company's profit, the result is 1.1 trillion at the end of the third quarter, a figure that truly surpasses our expectation at the beginning of this year. And here, too, the profit level is closer to the same level observed in 2019, which you all well know. This profit is primarily impacted in the case of Sudamericana by the expenses and claims ratio related to COVID. It's worth underlining that by September, there is a reserve of 114 billion of the HMO, which has a direct impact on the income statement of the HMO and goes directly to the results. That reserve is 75% of an account receivable recognized by the government for COVID expenses. So the government issues regulations based on the expenses and claims ratio related to COVID observed by HMOs and recognize all the expenses above 100% of the losses of the HMO. In this case, those 114 billion are pending recognition by the government in a resolution. Let me clarify, those 114 are 75% of what's being requested from the government. Why? Because our external auditor, since this is an account receivable, considers that the best criteria is to reserve 75%. The expectation, as shown in 2020 and 2021, is to recover 100% of the account since the government has recognized 100% of it. However, this is a reserve that our external auditor deems prudent, and at the $114 billion, which impacts the expenses as well. In this sense, expense is impacted by 3.2%, so if we exclude the $114 billion, expense will grow 1.5% against the company's income, which is growing 17.2%. Okay, there's another impact that Ricardo Jaramillo will be explaining ahead, the deferred tax that we will have by the end of September. That is of 47 billion pesos. Ricardo will explain this item in detail ahead. You can say that this is the second most relevant impact for the end of the third quarter this year. These profits are observed by us based on the figures seen in 2021, and with an expectation that differs from the one that we had in the beginning of the year. We believe that our profits are backed by a sound and diversified portfolio. This is how we read the company's results at the end of the third quarter, along with those of 2020. Again, it's diversified and sound portfolio, which has been resilient to the pandemic, and once more displays results quite similar to those of 2019. On the other hand, throughout the program and strategic relevance we have, we are constantly seeking for investors and shareholders of Grupo Sura, and this is worth repeating. Our purpose is complex, yes, but it lies on creating harmonious value for society, as well as a return that exceeds capital costs for our shareholders and investors. Both things should be done and developed, and that's our strategic goal and what we've worked for day in and day out. This means that in our stock acquisition program, which you've been following, we are reaching now $50 billion in stock acquisition at the end of September 2021, and this figure provides an internal return rate of about 37%. This means a capital assignment that creates value for our shareholders. On the other hand, as we have mentioned before, reducing our debt is another strategic purpose we have, aimed to reduce the cost of capital and systematically continue reducing the debt. Indeed, in this particular case, Sura Asset Management has reduced its debt more than 600 billion pesos this year. And on the consolidated statement, we can still have an impact, but our path is to continue having a better return over the cost of capital. And lastly, our focus is to create value for our shareholders and to have a company that's still listed, a company which, no matter who, be it individuals or small enterprises, can have access to the democratization of capital, and have led us to two actions which you surely are aware of. One is the subscription of the share of Grupo Sura in the stock market of Chile. I'm sure you know about this. We saw more opportunities for the marketability of our stocks and a larger number of persons participating in it, as in the case of Chile, where we have two companies of insurance and of Sura Asset Management, all to expand our capital markets. Second, and also very important for us, is our alliance with Tree, which brings 1,400 new shareholders to the company. Beyond the amount of the investments, it's is our capability to reach the entire population today in Colombia, and we hope that tomorrow in Latin America. Indeed, we are reaching 181 municipalities with our Alliance with Tree, and there are very small municipalities in Colombia that now have individuals investing in Grupo Suda. And we believe that if our purpose is to create value for society and increase marketability to our stock, but most importantly, we need to value our society and expand our market share, and this is relevant. So these are the results at September 2021 we have for you. Indeed, they are way above what we expected in terms of income and also net profit, all with an expense management that is relevant of 3.2 or 1.5, excluding the reserve made for the HMO, in which the monthly indicator of expenses is lower than what we observed a year ago. It's really a pleasure to be with you today, and I'll give you the floor to Ricardo Jaramillo, and I'll see you again for the Q&A session. Before giving the floor to Ricardo, I'd like to mention the request of the takeover bid, which we all heard about on Wednesday evening. Like everybody else, we were made aware of this takeover bid that same evening by the financial superintendents. The information we have is the same information that the public has regarding the request presented for the takeover bid. And on this matter, and in accordance with our corporate governance and with the laws in general, we, as shareholders of Grupo Nutresa, are studying the case and studying the development of this request made to the financial superintendency. Logically, we are studying and analyzing our position as shareholders of Grupo Nutresa. Thank you, and now let's see Ricardo. Thanks, Gonzalo, and greetings to everyone joining us today. I invite you to take a closer look at the figures of Grupo Suda during the third quarter on slide 6, where we can see the consolidated income statement. Here we can see a favorable development of the net profit in the quarter, mainly driven by increased premiums and commissions, significant improvements in the equity method, and as we have mentioned in prior quarters, a tight control of expenses. This led us to reach $2.7 trillion in new income compared to 2020 figures, up 17.4%, and with an operating profit of $1.9 trillion, up 37.3%. Lastly, a net earning of 1.1 trillion pesos, which is higher than in 2020, of 398 billion, a difference of 720 million pesos. This shows a net profit much closer to the results of 2019 before the pandemic than of 2020. Let's look at the income closely. First, we need to highlight the growth of our two business lines of Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management. Premiums issued had a great growth of 13.8. Ahead, we'll see in terms of Sudamericana that this growth is seen throughout the region and in every segment. Income from commissions displays good growth, as well as regarding savings for retirement and voluntary sectors and businesses, which Gonzalo mentioned, up 15.7%. And the equity method that we see closely in another slide, which reached 985 billion, growing 191%. This is mainly driven by the bank's recovery. And again, we will see this closely ahead. With regards to expenses, it is worth mentioning that operating expenses have been under control. Excluding the effect of the reserve that Gonzalo mentioned, expenses would be growing 1.5%, which is below the inflation of Colombia. This means a decrease in real terms and a trend we have been showing throughout prior quarters. Therefore, our growth is higher than expenses, displaying a better operating margin in the company from the viewpoint of the consolidated statement. claims ratio is also worth mentioning, and we will see this ahead in Suramericana of $1.5 trillion, up 26% of retained losses. This is tied, of course, to COVID-19. Later we'll see in each segment how this figure has evolved. We also want to discuss the deferred tax that Gonzalo mentioned in his introduction. You know that due to the Social Investment Act, the tax rate increased and set increased throughout the companies of the portfolio had an impact. We had to recognize in this deferred tax the higher tax we have to pay in coming years. Pertaining to Grupo Sura and its subsidiaries, this wasn't a very significant impact. However, among the other companies related, Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa, the impact was more significant, affecting the equity method by 44 billion pesos. And its total impact on the financial statements is of 47 billion pesos. We understand that the government gave the option to take that deferred tax to the ORI, but we are taking it through the international lines through the ERI, or the Integrated Income Statement. Let's move on, please, to slide 7. As said before, the equity method displays good dynamics, which backs the importance of the diversification. This portfolio here has, again, and you can see it on the lower note, the impact of 44 billion. It shows that this quarter is slightly lower than the previous quarter. However, on the lower graph, you can see that we have an average in the last three quarters of 328 billion of the method, an average that exceeds that of 2019. Indeed, we are comparing a lot with 2019 since it's important to underline the recovery of these figures compared to what we saw in the company before the impact of COVID-19. This graph clearly shows the quarters. For us, the recovery is faster than expected. We will see this when we discuss the different companies. Let's move on, please, to slide 8. Here we want to shed light on the dynamics in the reduction of the operating expenses proportional to income. It's worth stating that we've made several changes on how we register these expenses that can have an impact on this indicator. The purpose is to better show how we see the efficiency indicator. We understand that this can have an impact on the comparability you've been using in previous quarters, but again, it reflects better the efficiency, and we will be showing it with more detail as of today. On this slide, we can highlight a total growth of 3.2, and if we exclude the effect of the reserve, this item is 1.5. There is a slight increase of several expenses in the quarter, which is mainly related to commercial expenses or also aligned with the growth dynamics of the businesses. We can see 420 basic points of improved efficiency when compared to the income related to these expenses. This is a gain of margin quite significant, which without this reserve, going back to what Gonzalo said about the expectations for year-end, the efficiency indicator today is at 41.7, while this indicator was 46.6 in the third quarter of 2020. Let's move on to slide 9, which shows the increased net profit in the quarter. Understanding that this is mainly driven by the result of the equity method and the profit level of Sura Asset Management. On this graph, you can see that the profit in the third quarter of 2021 was 398 billion pesos. Sura Americana is subtracting close to 298 billion, including the reserve we've mentioned before, while Sura Asset Management is adding 268 billion pesos, including the results of Protección, what we saw in the consolidated, in the equity method. Here we have an equity method of 604 billion pesos, mainly from the related companies of Bancolombia, Grupo Argos, and Grupo Nutresa. On the other hand, Grupo Sura has increased 147 billion for managing exchange coverages, while in others are 444 billion pesos, primarily due to two effects. Clover Health from the Sura Ventures program, which we sold in the previous quarter, and the profit gained from Money Lion, which was listed as well in the Sura Ventures program. Both companies add up to 44 billion pesos for a differential of 1.11 trillion in the accumulated, up 181%, as you can see on this slide. Let's move on to slide 11 with the income statement of Suramericana. Here we want to highlight the sound commercial dynamics of this company and how the premiums issued grew 14.4 in the accumulated and reached 15.4 trillion. As far as the semester, premiums reached 5.7 trillion, and when compared to the third quarter of 2020, it has increased 21%. So this gives us an important liquidity and the company's aim to keep a sound commercial growth. Moving on to the graph of the claims ratio, we have important messages to share. First, we are aware that this item remains high. However, the claims ratio is improving from 71 to 70%. And this point, single point, is significant when we talk about this volume of premiums. In addition, when we see in the bars a quarter of 352 billion related to COVID, we see that this quarter shows the lowest figure of claims ratio related to COVID, which is a sign that is tied to the diseases, but is also a sign of the many benefits gained from the vaccination and the current levels of the pandemic. The technical result of Suramericana reached 1.2 trillion, and if we give back the reserve, it would be 1.3, which is practically the same technical result displayed last year, which is 7% of premiums issued and is obviously impacted by that claims ratio. A major effort has been made in administrative expenses. Suramericana has increased these expenses 3.8, a figure below or close to inflation. And the indicator of expenses is dropping 13.4 to 11.3, showing the improved margin of the company revenue. Revenue from investments is sliding 16.6%, mainly due to higher rates, particularly in Chile and Mexico, which are displaying lower monetary dynamics along with other countries. And this shows that Suramericana displays a net profit of 4 billion pesos, just as reference. Now I invite you to move on to slide 12. The profit of 4 billion, excluding the reserve we've talked about, would be close to 118 billion. On this slide 12, we can see the profit of different segments. Life is positive, casualty is positive, the segment of life is close to zero due to the reserve, and there are obviously expenses related to the corporate segment, such as operating expenses, interest, etc., but the profits of segments are positive. I'd like to underline the liquidity and soundness of solvency that Gonzalo mentioned. Since the pandemic began, this indicator has been constantly followed, and despite so many months of the pandemic and the relevant amounts of claims ratio, it has a good position. Now let's take a look at the graph on the lower right-hand side of the quarterly development. Here we can see that the most complex quarter was the last quarter of 2020, followed by a recovery. And in this quarter, again, excluding the reserve, which we expect can be reversed in these months, leads to a profit of 119 billion pesos, showing the path of recovery of Suramericana. Let's move on to slide 13, which provides details of the life segment. Here we see improvements in claims ratio, as well as a result of the evolution of the pandemic, while the premiums issued double-digit growth. Here's a growth of 15.3 in premiums, an improvement of 700 basic points in claims ratio. The premiums from labor risks of the workers' compensation business had a significant growth compared to the third quarter of 2020. This shows labor dynamics that improve in Colombia. And on the lower left-hand side graph, we can see a control of expenses and lower commissions. Lower commissions especially related to a shift in the mix of channels, but they still improve since 380 basic points is quite relevant. And the same goes with expenses with 270 basic points of improvement. I said that revenue from investments have an impact in the consolidated. However, when we look at the portfolio of life, mainly in Colombia, improvements are observed quarter after quarter. This ended in the previous quarter with 195 billion pesos, while the profit of the segment is also better than previous quarters, reaching 93 billion pesos. So the segment of life began to improve significantly in different indicators with the progress observed of the pandemic. Let's move on, please, to slide 14, which is a close look of the casualty segment. Here we highlight the growth of premiums of 8%. Cars are growing 12.6%. And there are effects of multi-annual policies, mainly in Chile. However, we also need to underline the increased claims ratio of this segment, which is primarily due to frequency and severity. A specific item is the increase of prices of car parts tied to the restriction of supply chains, which we have all heard about, and obviously with the effect of the exchange rates. When we observe the different indicators of expenses as a proportion of the segment's revenue, administration expenses improved close to 100 basic points compared to the previous quarter. We see an improvement of 200 basic points in expenses of commissions and an increase of technical expenses of 200 basic points. So overall, on the bottom of the slide, we can see the combined reason has an increase of 400 basic points from 106 to 110, mainly related to the claims ratio increase we mentioned before. We must highlight that in this segment, as we mentioned in other quarters, there's close to 26 billion of impact, mainly related to COVID, in the companies in Mexico, Panama, and Brazil, which are accounted for in this segment since the origin of these companies after acquiring RSA were mainly casualty, and these have gradually added life solutions. In net profit, the figure so far this year is 26 billion pesos, which is still positive, even if the quarter's profit was close to zero at negative 7 billion. Slide 15 shows details of the health segment, pointing out an accelerated growth of premiums issued. The growth is of 600 billion pesos compared to the third quarter of 2020, which was 39%. This growth is observed throughout different companies involved in this segment. We've got the HMO, the IPS, and diagnostic aids. We can see the expense control on the top right graph with an effort to improve claims ratio from 92.1 to 8.3 this last quarter, as well as a considerable improvement of the indicator of expenses of the entire segment. On the lower left graph, we can see the basic reserve that we've talked about. Basically, the financial statements recognize an account receivable in the second quarter of 880 billion pesos and in the third quarter of 276 billion pesos. This gives a total of 364 billion pesos in those accounts pending. And of those 364 billion pesos, 213 have been paid, while 152 billion are currently discussed with the government. And that's where the 75% reserve rises from. Now let's talk about Suda Asset Management. Slide 17 shows the company's income statement this quarter. First, we see a significant growth of operating income backed by the growth of commissions and double-digit in the different segments of savings for retirements and voluntary businesses. Revenue from commissions increased 15.8%, reaching 684 billion pesos in the quarter, up 16.8% quarter to quarter. Revenue from reserves have been affected compared to the year before, mainly due to higher interest rates in Chile and Mexico. And we also observe a significant recovery of our equity method in Protección with an increase of 45 to 61 billion pesos. With this, Suda Asset Management reached a revenue of 2.2 trillion, up 18.3%. The operating expenses grew 9.4%. We want to highlight that when we look at this in the currency of each country, the growth is 4.8%, which is aligned with the inflation rates of the region, and below the growth of revenue, which in this company shows considerable improvements of this margin. Here we want to underline the operating earning, excluding the reserve, which is the dotted line on the top right graph, which is reaching 284 billion pesos. This profit is even higher than that of 2019, excluding the reserve, with a 42% growth in the quarter and an accumulated of 52% compared to the year before. The company's net earning reached 525 billion pesos, up 104%. And it's very important to underline that the company's variation or growth shows that investment Suda and investment management, which are the voluntary lines, contribute 63 billion pesos of more profit compared to the year before. Slide 18 shows details of savings for retirement. We can point out the sound performance backed by the growth of income from commissions and a good recovery of the salary base throughout the region. Let's begin with the AUMs, which reached 464 trillion. That is 16 trillion less than the previous quarter. However, we should keep in mind that in the past 12 months, AUMs were impacted by the withdrawals made in Chile and Peru of 36.5 trillion. Without this impact, AUMs would be growing 7.6%. On the upper right-hand graph is income from commissions, which is partly related to flows and to AUMs. Total growth here is 15.6 in pesos and a growth of 8.8 in local currency. It's worth underlining that the AUMs here are mainly in Mexico and grow in local currency at 3.7, while in the other countries they grow 14.8, mainly driven by Chile. On the lower left graph, we can see the growth of each of the countries. Mexico is the lowest, but Chile or Peru or Uruguay display grows close to 10, 16, and 19%. It is also worth underlining that companies continues controlling its expenses, as shown by the 53.3 indicator, to maintain the efficiency of total expenses of the segment. Now let's move on to slide 19 that shows details of Inversiones Suda and Suda Investment Management, two companies which are part of the voluntary business. Let's begin by showing that it's the fourth quarter in a row with a positive profit backed by an accelerated growth of income, which in turn comes from the AUMs, which grew in the year 9.6%, in local currency 11.3%, and increased clients of 12%, reaching assets under management of $71.4 million. A positive net flow of 600 billion pesos in the quarter and of 1.3 trillion in the year, and this is reflected by the increased income from commissions, which grew 23.6 in the quarter, 31.3 in the year. This income is reaching 300 billion, which is 15% of the income from total commissions of Suda Asset Management. On the lower right-hand graph is the operating margin we mentioned. This is the fourth quarter with operating profits so far this year. It adds up to 30 billion pesos, showing that the company is increasingly overcoming the break-even point discussed in previous quarters. This is a close explanation of the figures of Grupo Suda, Suda Americana, and Suda Asset Management. So let's begin the Q&A session. Thank you. Thank you. As of now, we begin the live Q&A session. We'll begin receiving the questions made in Spanish. For those that are in the English channel or connected by web, please send us your questions through the platform in writing. We will be answering them later on. For those in the Spanish line, please, if you have a question, press star 1 on your phone. If you want to remove yourself from the waiting list, just press pound. If you have a question, press star 1. We have a question, Mr. Ortiz, from Da Vivienda Corredores. Good morning, and thank you all. Can you hear me? Yes, ma'am. We do. Thank you. First of all, thank you for your presentation. I have one question really related to the takeover bid. I understand that, and you already mentioned that, Gonzalo, but you're still making an analysis of this transaction, but I would like to know, for you, is there a price independent of the price that we know of publicly? Is there a price that Grupo Suda is willing to sell Grupo Nutresa for, or is there no price whatsoever yet? Catherine, thank you for your question. And as we said before, first, the information we have is the same as everybody else's about this takeover bid, and we don't believe that we have any more information. So right now we don't have a position as Grupo Suda regarding that takeover bid. Regarding a price in particular, the analysis really as administrators at Grupo Suda will be comprehensive and also will depend on our corporate governance, and we have to keep in mind our long-term strategies. So we will still be analyzing the situation as Grupo Suda, and we'll be making a statement ahead. But for now, we have no other information than what has been publicly provided so far. And if this is approved, we will sit down and study this situation according to our corporate governance, the laws of Colombia. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. We have Juliana Duque from Da Vivienda Corredores. Good morning. Can you hear me? We hear you loud and clear. Good morning to everyone. Well, evidently, I had questions about the takeover bid, but these were answered. However, I'd like to know more about or more details about the expenses of all the business lines, because with regards to Suda Americana and Suda Asset Management, really about how you've reached those efficiency levels. and the performance of Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management due to the sensitivity of the results, especially Sudamericana, regarding the performance of the fixed income in Latin America. Thank you for your question. Let me provide you a short answer, and then I'll give the floor to my colleagues. Philosophically, we for some time talk about contractions in the center and expansions in the periphery. So this means that all of the management that we've made of expenses is one that does not interrupt the creation of value to clients and channels. This is a periphery. And this is important because managing expenses should not disturb in any way the growth of the companies to create value for clients and our shareholders and society at large. This has to do with the strategy that we've been explaining since last year. So firstly, we have to say that all the operations at Suda Americana, Grupo Suda, and Suda Asset Management are based on not touching client society or channels. And there's a systematic strategy of operating efficiency, which has to do with competitiveness. Last year, we were talking about, we discussed indicators. Today, we gave them. And this precisely is not only to be very systematic, but very competitive as well. And I'd like to underline again that we can never go against the development of our business. And proof of this is that both Sudamericana and Suda Asset Management are showing income levels that are very positive. And therefore, we still have good investments to expand our companies. So let me give the floor to my colleagues, Ricardo, Juan, and Carlos Oquendo. Perfect, Gonzalo. Well, to complement what Gonzalo said, when it comes to Sudamericana, we've been working to transform our operating model, and what we've learned during these last year and a half, you can see fundamental changes when it comes to logistics, to locations, looking at fees, also trips, travels made. And that has reduced expenses. And also, as Gonzalo said, when it comes to have more value for our clients, we're looking at different channels used. We're implementing direct channels and technology platforms to have better dynamics, not only with clients, but also with shareholders. So this is the operating model that we are using to create the value we need for our clients, making use of this good use of this transformation we're living. Carlos Oquendo, would you like to add something? Hello, can you hear me? Yes. Yes, we can. We can hear you. Okay, I would like to add that from Suda Asset Management, I think that the new ARP teams, which took place a year and a half ago, has been completed, so we have seen no growth there. Also, the investments made in digital channels, that investment has already been made, and also we found ways of operating that to reduce expenses and leases. We have the chance of having commercial flows using digital channels, so the expenses of acquisition are not as high. So I believe that this scale that the business has reached of an APR does not increase expenses. And in this business, we've had the chance to find new ways of operating that are much more efficient. That would summarize what we've done. I would like to add something that's fundamental. In the reduction of expenses, there is a limit, like we all know. For instance, what Fernando has mentioned of changing the operating models has been fundamental so that the expenses can reach levels or indicators quite efficient. We clearly are aware that, especially with the HMO of SUDA, we have a much more efficiency, 4%. And without this efficiency, we would have different income statements. So this is made by reducing very particular expenses and, as Luis Fernando also, changing operating models, justify disappearing some processes, adding others. And among other things, we do this constantly when it comes to the managing these companies. I'd like to also add, it's very important what we've talked about in the past. This company has made a significant expansion with the regional platform. So this means not only to increase our income, but to have a structure of our base that's much more efficient. So we, in each one of our businesses, we have growths that are significant, that are controlled as well, controlling our expenses, understanding, of course, that we have added value, but that on a long-term basis, the companies should be much more efficient. And also we have to look at the numbers. When it comes to Sudamericana today, if we look to expenses related to COVID, that shows our soundness. Also, we see improved profitability levels by Sudamericana, but that shows us how we're growing 15 and we have very controlled expenses. This is a great opportunity in terms of changing that operating model. Also, with regards to your question, as to Sudamericana, this is the story is that it was always a company of returns, based on returns, so over equity, and this has always been creating value. In the past two decades, in 2010, we're talking about returns of almost 17%, but with the claims ratio today are very similar to those back then. In 2019, we had the first impact on the HMO, which was a tax on the life business. These were two particular things that happened in 2019. And there was a reduction of the profit of the company for the first time to standards of 360 billion pesos in 2019. And then with the pandemic, we had an impact of 3.4 billion. So when we talk about the profitability of the asset, as Ricardo mentioned, we're talking about two particular years, yes, but this Sudamericana has always created value. And it's going back to the normal claims ratio levels with to the point of without COVID. And we had returns that were higher for capital during the first and second decade until 2018, really. And here you can see 200 basic points of a return that is quite good because of those specific events over the profit of the asset and that of Sudamericana, which you can see a systematic control of expense. This is like part of a culture of the company. And we believe that for 2022, things will be different, and in 23 and 24, we will be close, very close to the normalcy of Suramerican. And when it comes to investments and the fixed income, Julian, with regards to your question, your second question about fixed income or our expectation of the profitability of our portfolios, it's important to understand that in the strategy of Suramericana, we have an investment strategy that goes hand in hand with the liability that's part of our business. And here we look at the assets and liabilities. Obviously, we've been looking at the effects of the higher inflations that hurt portfolios in certain countries, which are valued at the market rate. But we've been shortening durations in some countries. We have good liquidity. We're taking advantage of this good scale to have coverages of for longer periods of time. And we see negative effects that are related to liabilities. So somehow this shows us more organic results or better on a long-term basis. Something else that's important is that we are about to have maturities in marketable papers. So right now we have peace of mind because these papers will be meeting their period and our holdings of them. So within this period, we can have the recovery of the profitability we need. Most of the portfolio is in Colombia, and we classify this portfolio, and we are aware of the volatility, especially of the portfolios of long duration, and we guarantee acquisition rates of those papers, guaranteeing that the liabilities of life really require. So this is all independent of the market rates. We have peace of mind right now, what we see regarding rates, but ahead, because of the maturity of these papers, we believe that we will have good recovery. Something that's very positive is that the new resources that we are receiving and the dynamics from that growth of premiums has shown very good higher figures. And they go hand in hand with our strategy. I'd like to add, this is part of the risk management of the company. As Juan has explained, the fact of looking at long-term processes gives us profitability. Looking at the volatility of the market on a short-term basis is dangerous. But with that investment, looking at everything on a long-term basis, our competitiveness and our income and our expenses shows that the company is sustainable and that we're taking a very good look at our long-term liabilities and that this is fundamental because our responsibility is for 40 years. So in 40 years, the idea is to have good levels of profitability. And looking at things on a quarterly basis or on a yearly basis gives us an integrated risk management system that we insist, especially for Suramericana, has grown very well in a very hard year like that of 2020. And that we have been hit hard because of the pandemic that was unforeseen. And in such volatilities of the marketplace. Next question. Daniel Guardiola from BGT. Good morning, Gonzalo, Ricardo. I have several questions. Hello, Daniel. How are you? I was watching I was looking at the contribution of different sectors to the net profit of the consolidated group, and it's curious that the contribution of Grupo Nutresa year against year fell almost 21%. And I think it's curious that the results of the company in terms of net profit dropped so much. Could you give us an idea of that lower contribution to the consolidated from Grupo Nutresa? Second question has to do with Nutresa as well, and I'd like to understand strategically on a medium and long-term basis, how do you see Grupo Nutresa and its ties or its link to Grupo Sura? And Ricardo was talking about the insurance. Ricardo was talking about the ROE of Sura Americana without the COVID. Could you give us the setting without the COVID or a controlled pandemic? And my third question, I'd like to understand your vision over the Chilean pension system on a short-term basis, especially keeping in mind all the political pressure Chile is changing, the effect of the three withdrawals, and perhaps the fourth will take place, building the system. And the impacts do you expect in the future of this on your business regarding pensions in Chile? Thank you, Daniel. Thank you so much, Daniel. Let's begin with the first question. I'll answer the first question. First, the contribution of Nutresa. If we go back in my presentation, I talked about the option that the government is providing to move the deferred tax through the ORI or ERI. According to the international standards, we're looking at the tax, deferred tax through the ERI. And in the case of Grupo Argos and of Grupo Nutresa, the idea is to move this through the ORI, and this shows the different percentages. That's the first item related to the deferred tax. And now let's listen to Gonzalo, who will talk about the medium and long-term vision. Daniel, our vision of Nutresa has many settings. First, risk inspection. We at Grupo Sura are related to risk a lot. And last year, we proved that Nutresa had one of the best years. And that inspection of risk shows, and the dispersion of risk shows profit levels that are not the main focus, which for us is investments. So that's one of the reasons that's fundamental. Little by little, we'll be catalyzing the risk dispersion in many senses, in product solutions, in niches of the population, first. Second, there's something that's fundamental in the development. When we talk about development, it's integral development. We're talking about social capital, natural capital, economic capital, obviously. For us, Nutresa provides well-being, and proof is that for many years, for instance, at Salud Sura, we've been working with Nutresa to make a commitment to create value. We talk about well-being of companies and individuals in society. So there's a fundamental synergy with Nutresa. We today have many studies to contribute to the health of people with Nutresa. So between Nutresa and the products of health, that not only Ciudad Colombia has, but in other countries, there's a synergy of well-being or welfare. So we, with this, look at the comprehensiveness that we're always seeking. For every investor is seeking the welfare or well-being of mankind. So we're looking at synergies. For instance, to build healthy cities is a goal that every company should have, and states. So we make synergies that are very important for the development of society. And we share with Nutresa the philosophy, ways of doing business, and long-term visions. And the idea is to make developments of for a very long term, strategic, and also with governance, which in this case, we as investors of Grupo Nutresa develop, make more developments. And also the yields of Nutresa have been important for us. So again, we have to clearly see that the development is important, and part of the dispersion of risk has to do with investments. Remember, you've seen many times we are a company focused on health, not only diseases, but for prevention purposes. And when we talk about the planet's health, we have to include many other players of society. Perfect. Moving on to the question of Sudamericana and COVID. I think it's fundamental to understand here that when you make an analysis in the past 18 months of Sudamericana, there are negative parts and positive parts. Again, there's a normal claims ratio of the business. Last year, it dropped in health and in casualty because of the closure of the economy. So this allowed us to reach levels of claims ratio that are lower, but also in expenses, we're making efforts in expenses and commissions. So this is on the positive side. But on the other hand, we have a claims ratio last year of 31.5 billion. So when we talk about the profitability of Sudamericana, you can't say that because of COVID we're not doing well. But instead, it's a mix of both topics. The negative, because of the claims ratio, that shows the capability of the business to be resilient and to experience that claims ratio. We look at this effect, and we can say that the profitability of Sudamericana is at 13% now. And this is an approximate figure, because if we look at this, at the pandemic, the figures have changed dramatically. But we, as management, the goal we have for next year is to increase our profitability. We've been hit hard, yes, but we hope that the effects of COVID are lower, although we are waiting for a new wave by the end of this year, but the vaccination rates are good. The impacts are lower, so we start to see better results. And we hope that by 2022 we'll have a better ROE and a better capital gains as a company, and to reach levels before the pandemic. I'd like to add also, Daniel, and I want to say this because I feel forced to say this. In 2018, the claims ratio without COVID and that of 2021 are very similar figures. The indicator of expenses, because of the natural growth of the company, has grown, but with the pandemic, you can see that the indicator is lower. We can speculate still, but say that with higher income of 2021 with double digits, you can see that we will reach revenues that are quite relevant and that are higher with a claims ratio that's identical to that of 2018 and 2019, and with expenses that are still managed and with lower indicators, just 1% of decrease of income against expenses means 200 billion pesos. And 200 billion pesos is the 4% of the return of the company. So this analysis can be made by anybody, in which the company, and just look at the figures of 2018 and compare them to those of 2021. In 2021, we're still going to have, of course, impacts of COVID, but we're looking at recovery trends, and we hope that 2022 will be creating value again. When we talk about these companies, we're looking at a very close analysis of the risks. And with the pandemic, obviously, since it was unforeseen, we're not so off. So we're looking at preventions in the risk area. So we're calculating our forecast with a high level of preciseness. And when it comes to Chile and the pension system, we've always said, Daniel, that our business by nature is sustainable. Everybody has to have some type of saving system, just like an insurance company. And our big purpose is that to be competitive and to be able to manage part of the government's topics, also of pensions, are important. So we have to have conditions to be very efficient. And philosophically, we should provide top quality products and services. So as we are more productive and more efficient and provide top quality services, we can be managers that governments will prefer for solutions such as those, the mandatory pension systems. In Chile, we're still, through the new constitution, the new system has not been defined or determined per se, but the company, when it comes to the fourth withdrawal, the company won't really be impacted. And we believe that it's important, and we've seen this globally, that the mean premium with topics that are those that are using undoubtedly pensions with reforms, and we're just being prepared to be more efficient and so we can be major players and to anticipate all of these circumstances to be more productive so that people in Latin America and globally can have a sustainable retirement system. So we foresee that this scheme has to be studied every day. But with all the reforms in Chile, undoubtedly, we have to guarantee to everybody a good retirement system. And with our knowledge, our management of investments, and with our efficiency, we strive to provide the best retirement system, both in Chile and in any of the countries where we operate. Thank you, Daniel. We have another question from Stefania Mosquera. Good morning. Thank you so much for your presentation. I have several questions. First, has to do with Suda Asset Management. I saw that there was an investment of $40 billion. I'd like to understand a bit how you could explain that. The second question has to do with a claims ratio that dropped from 75 to 73%. And that's a significant drop. So my question is, what do you see ahead? Will you maintain these figures with the new peak that we foresee? And my third question is the group's strategy. We've been seeing that large companies have strategies that are more inclusive. Within the group, are you thinking about doing something similar to provide more value to each unit of Grupo Suda? Carlos, let's begin with the first question of the gains of investments. Go ahead. Look, Estefania, can you hear me okay? Yes, we can hear you. Estefania, with regards to the line you're asking about, we're talking about the capitals and industries we've invested in, which, in addition to the profitability of the funds in which they're in, have a component during this year, and it's that the investment is made through a Chilean corporation, which is made in dollars, and it's creating an exchange difference that's positive. That's mainly what represents that line from the holding. It's more of a seed capital yield. Perfect. Thank you, Carlos. Juan, with regard to life question, it's important to keep in mind that in life segment, at least in this quarter, we have lower claims ratio, yes. We believe that obviously for the because of the vaccination plans seen in the different countries where we operate, the claims ratio are basically related to COVID. On the other hand, when it comes to life, we have the workers' compensation system where there are premiums this year as a result because of the economic reactivation, and the claims ratio is much better there because the vaccination plan of those companies that are related to the group. So ahead we see a management that can be held, undoubtedly. Let me clarify, Steph and I, when you talked about the profitability of investments, there is a profitability of investments that is explained by what Carlos Oquendo said. But there's another profitability that I mentioned in the presentation with regards to Grupo Suda related to the materialization of some of the portfolios of Grupo Suda. So keep in mind that those are both effects are important in this case. Okay. With regard to your last question, and if Gonzalo would like to add something, he's more than welcome. Since we are investments managers, we're always looking at how to manage this portfolio. It's balanced. It's well geographically set by industries, by channels and businesses, et cetera. And it really gives it strength to the returns observed and the stability of the returns of the portfolio. This has helped us in the crisis. So although we do keep in mind the international dynamics of these businesses, our management is focused on to have a diversified portfolio. Indeed, this is part of our ongoing management. We've been evaluating the portfolio. We're making decisions over it. And the historical part of this company over these 75 years in operation has shown mergers, spinoffs. Recently, we made a merger between Life and the ARL, or Workers' Compensation. And they're not only, we're in markets, different markets, looking at different portfolios, but we're looking at things on a short and long-term basis. And for that, you need a lot of knowledge. The knowledge of each of these companies of the group, it shows how they're more efficient. For instance, with the ARL, or the Workers' Compensation, created for us 450 billion pesos, 450 points of efficiency, not only over the equity, but also liquidity. So evidently, from the risk viewpoint and on a long-term basis, we're looking at all the management of investments, how we're providing a better return to our investors. But again, looking at things on a medium and long-term basis. So this is part of our being as Grupo Sura, managing investments. Right now, we have no more questions. Okay. I would like to... We're short of time, but we do have some questions that arrived in writing. This connected to the strategies and how they have developed and improved the margins of the company. And lastly, what are the policies for next year? Okay, as Carlos said, these three questions are very connected to each other. And we've said this many times before, the free cash flow of Grupo Sura is quite simple. We're talking about dividends received from investments, and those dividends are used in corporate expenses for the holding, which is the big block. First, we have to do with the service of the debt. Third, second, the dividends, and then investments or of capital. So when we talk specifically about what's happening today regarding Life, our expectation, while the companies of the portfolio have a better development, we expect to be improving and reaching dividend levels like those pre-pandemic. Those that are of this year are affected by those of Bancolombia. So we hope that for next year we can have a recovery again related to the flows received from companies. Okay, we have strategies to pay to interest, obviously, and we want to improve the feel of the stock, but we also have to have a space related to investments and the best investment, because we know the asset and we know its potential, and creating value is the bottom line. When it comes to the acquisition of stocks, we're using the mechanism of the stock exchange. So far, we're comfortable. We haven't thought about other schemes or mechanisms. And we will start to increase or decrease the number of stocks acquired. As Gonzalo mentioned, we expect that the cash flow will, and the policies of launching stocks will be good. And this shows us what the holding is doing. And I'd like to give the floor to a question that wasn't mentioned but there is a question of how Grupo Sura is managing its sustainability. And I think that this is much related to what Gonzalo mentioned regarding the environmental and social capital and human capital. We as capital management managers look at the economic capital. And I'd like to hear from Gonzalo about the Dow Jones Sustainability Index of the company. Thank you, Ricardo. With regards to Dow Jones, on Friday at 6 p.m., we received the results, and this is why now we think it's great, given the recent results that received. First, it's very important to say something or to underline something Ricardo mentioned. For us, Dow Jones is a measurement, but it's not how we are. This company, for 77 years, has been managing social and human capital, and it's important to underline this. We've talked about Suramericana of doing things for mankind, of taking care of nature. And we're talking about the decade of the 70s. So this is part of the philosophy and a way of seeing and the existence of the company, which leads us to what the group is today. For 11 years now, we have been presenting information to the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. And this year, once again, we're the only group of financial services of Latin America that's in the global Dow Jones Sustainability Index. We're the only group of financial services. We got a score of 78 over 100, and this has to do with the environment, the economy, and governance. And I think you're well aware of our standing on those three topics. And this year, for instance, we have to underline that everything has to do with corporate governance. We got the highest score when it comes to the structure of the board of directors, and everything has to do with codes and corporate governance. We have the highest scores possible. The structure of the board of directors, 100 points. I mean, and we want to improve clearly the standards. And here what we want to underline is that for the 11th year in a row, we're part of the Dow Jones Sustainable Index. We're the only group of financial services that's in the Dow Jones in Latin America. And reconsider that the concept of sustainability here is key. And to have sustainability, we have long-term measures with all the companies that are part of the group and that have to do with looking closely at the economic, human, and social capital. And if we cannot grow in each one of these items, the idea is to increase somehow. So we got this result Friday at 6 p.m., and that's why I want to take this opportunity to tell you about this score and these great results, because as investors, undoubtedly, you're interested in the sustainability of these companies. Okay, we have no more questions. Sorry, we took a bit longer in our teleconference as planned. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you all. This ends the teleconference for today. If you want to hear this recording, it will be available from the company's website in coming days. You may hang up now. Thank you.